Hello and welcome back to the second instalment of the Insurers The Best Policy podcast with Rod Fox, Managing Partner and CEO of Tiger Risk. In this episode, we dive straight into what we can expect at the 1st of January renewals, looking at pricing, the development of further de-risking by insurers and the runoff opportunities, specifically in the US general casualty space from 2015 to 2018. Rod says, those years are burning and people are going to need to deal with them. In addition, Rod and I discuss the importance of talent and how he's leaned on his previous experience to not only just develop talent, but also to create a more diverse culture. He says that as a society, and specifically as an industry, we need to do more to improve this dramatically, and is confident this is something we all can do. But to kick off, I asked Rod how he sees market dynamics shaping up in the run-up to the key 1st of January reinsurance and retro renewals.
Yeah, it's a very interesting market, and you know, it's unique around the globe. Each market's slightly different. I think the North American market is probably the most interesting today. I would say it's a hardening market. It's not rock hard yet. Deals can get done. There were periods back in the mid 80s where you just couldn't get something done at any price. Deals can get done at a price today. There is new capacity coming in. There'll be capacity directed into the retro market, but I do think retro will be a determining factor. And if things proceed as they are, it'll be a hardening market, but everybody should get their placements completed.
And then in terms of looking at the demand now, I mean, do you expect to see increased demand for the product as buyers look to de-risk their own balance sheets as well?
Yeah, we've seen increased demand already. Companies, demand for reinsurance, additional reinsurance, insurers that don't want to take extra volatility at this unique time. And we've seen a fair amount of that, and I expect to see more. Frankly, I'm surprised we haven't seen more, but I think we will. And, this is a great opportunity for our business, i.e. the reinsurance business, to create real viable solutions for clients who are massively exposed to a variety of risks on top of COVID. And I think the U.S. catastrophe picture will help shape that additional buying. Mm-hmm. To the extent we start having multiple losses, I think you'll see more de-risking.
Yeah. And just to return quickly to the amount of capital coming into the market. I mean, earlier on in the interview, you talked about seeing up to sort of $10 billion coming into the market for the rest of the year. Will any of this dilute any of the hardening that we're seeing, or are you confident about the hard market conditions continue to harden basically?
Yeah. Again, as I said earlier, it's sort of unique. It's not rock hard at the moment. So yes, any additional capital will have an impact. I don't think it's going to massively change the situation. I think the retro market situation, the trapped capital, the COVID loss emergence, casualty loss emergence from prior years, all these will ultimately be bigger factors on shaping the market. So I don't think this new capital is going to dilute significantly.
And, of course, we've all been working, remotely for some time now and adjusting to that new normal, but with Q3, Q4 conference season, having been completely sort of desiccated as a result of the pandemic and removing the ability to have these face-to-face meetings. How are you navigating around this to assist your clients to get, these deals over the line, and what strategies are you deploying as you work with them in more challenging market conditions?
I wish I had some amazing answer for you. I think, the stock answer at the moment is people are doing, the conferences virtually. So we've got, virtual Monte Carlo, et cetera. I was pushing our team to have a more unique and interesting solution than that, but that's where we are at the moment. I think the biggest thing is getting to work early, don't wait on this stuff. Don't expect that it's just going to happen, organically. And as you and I have talked about through this conversation, having a few different options available and contingency plans. But we're doing virtual market conferences and starting now and working through and frankly weeks ago working through January 1 placements.
But it isn't quite the same though, is it?
It is not. It is not. No.
Okay, at Tiger you have a strong, a really strong legacy practice. And how has the demand for runoff solutions changed? And perhaps you can shed a bit of light in terms of what's driving it.
Sure. And you've probably seen that the demand is only increasing. We have an industry-leading practice, and I think we see, a broad swath across the marketplace. About 5 or so years ago, we began pushing a concept. We talked broadly about what the insurer of the future would look like, and that had a number of features. One of the features was that they wouldn't just keep stacking decades of old liabilities on their balance sheet. And these runoff solutions and loss portfolios can be extremely effective capital management tools. And when you look at it, and as you think about this marketplace and capital efficiency and the need for return, they're wonderful in a lot of cases for helping that. So we're highly active. I think the marketplace is active, and I think you're only going to see it increase. Particularly, in one specific area, the U.S. sort of general casualty 2015 to 2018, those years are burning, and I think people are going to need to deal with them.
Absolutely. Moving on to sort of a bit more of the how you're operating this time, and in a recent interview with us, you warned that any expense cutting drives may have stunted the development of young industry talent, and that training remains an invaluable tool in supporting the next generation of the reinsurance market. How can the industry ensure it doesn't lose sight on future talent development during this time, and how are you ensuring that as well?
If you go back in time, and this was part of the point I think I made in that interview, if you go back in time, there were deep, rich training programs at the Hartford, at General Re, at a variety of insurance enterprises. I don't know where they stand exactly, but my sense is many of them have been slimmed down, sliced up, cut back, shelved, whatever. So the young people coming in, it's the little bit of osmosis as much as anything in terms of learning. So we've always had a strong commitment to training at Tiger. It's Tiger University. And your article was about the fact that we would typically have 60 to 70 people there, just given room constraints and housing and all that. And with COVID and the technology, we were able to have 700. So we brought clients and reinsurers and are the people, our new hires. So we had a, I thought, a pretty effective program. I teach part of it. Other senior leaders at Tiger teach. So number one, I think people just have to have a commitment to that fundamental training, in whatever business they're in. And then secondly, we were talking about this earlier in the week, just the remote working is taking away that mentorship and sort of the observation, capability for young people in the business, sort of watching more experienced people, how they operate, how they talk on the phone, how they go about their day, et cetera. And so we're going to have to figure out, how we get that back to the extent we're remote for longer. But yeah, we think the training is really important because we just can never get enough really talented young people.
And on a personal note then, what is your advice for young people entering the industry?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Work hard, meet everyone you can, get better every day. And don't just be an insurance geek, be interesting. At Tiger, we talk about something a lot. We talk about being great at life. So we want people that are great at life, not just great at insurance or reinsurance or whatever it is. We think having a very well-rounded perspective will make you more successful for us and for you. So we want you to be great at life.
And what do you think? That where's the sort of best place to go to begin with, on the underwriting side, on the distribution side? What do you think?
I think you can go anywhere. I mean, I think either one. It sort of depends on what your personality is. I think the best brokers and the best underwriters could probably do the other job equally well. But I think just getting as broad and deep view of the industry is the most important thing.
But you know, talent isn't the only aspect that the industry needs to sort of be mindful of. I mean, you know, obviously diversity and racial inequality are issues that the industry must tackle and has certainly been brought to the forefront this year. You know, what can companies do more to address these issues and while acknowledging sort of the challenge that remote working and COVID-19 has obviously brought to the fore as well?
It's a really important point, and I completely agree. We as a society, and specifically as an industry, can improve dramatically. We just haven't done a good job at it. And I think you just have to start doing and stop talking. You know, look at where the inequalities are, look at your hiring practices, look at where you're recruiting. You know, start hiring diverse people. And it's not just race, it's, you know, gender, it's everything. But yeah, I just think we as an industry just have to start. Like, just as of today or yesterday, you know, just start, you know, in all aspects. And you're not going to boil the ocean all at once, but you can start, you can make a real impact, and it will continue to grow on itself.
Thanks, Rod. So as we, you know, we come to the end of our interview, and perhaps on a more personal note, in little over 10 years, you know, Tiger Risk has created an impressive team and results culture. And this is something that you've taught in other previous precious places for yourself, such as EW Blanche and Benfield. So tell me, how do you do it and what methods do you deploy?
Thank you. It takes extreme focus, but it's fundamentally pretty simple. You know, it all starts with team. So 100 out of 100 times, the team will deliver a better result. You know, you can ask any of our people. We talk about team every single day. And everything revolves around that. Our whole sort of universe revolves around operating as a highly effective team. And I could bore you. You know, we hang out with Navy SEALs. We learn from them. They're a highly effective team. We bring their concepts in, but it's all about team. And I think it's a real differentiator from other brokers. And I'm sure lots of people talk about it, but we really practice it and execute around it. And the reason it matters is because, you know, if I'm all about myself as a broker, I can be very successful, but I'm really not creating true value for the firm and possibly not for my clients. But if I'm making the team better and the whole organization better and bringing the horsepower of however many people to bear on a problem, I'm going to be much more effective. And so it's proven successful for us. We can always get better, but it fundamentally starts with the team and building a great team and work ethic and culture around that. And there is a certain culture at Tiger. I mean, we want to challenge the status quo. Yeah, and that's been consistent with Benfield and Blanche and other things. You know, be very creative, work really hard, and have highly talented people. So we've refined the formula. You know, it started at Blanche. We got it better at Benfield. I think we've gotten it even better at Tiger. And so we're tinkering with it all the time, but it's been fun. It's been really fun.
It's been a journey.
It has.
I suppose finally it sort of seems an appropriate place to sort of end, but you know, so Rob, what is the Tiger way?
I don't know if there actually is a Tiger way. Our people are relentlessly focused on trying to help our clients become more successful. And it's some of the things I just mentioned. It's team. It's people that work hard. It's relentless creativity and striving to challenge the status quo.
Yeah.
And we're having a great time. And as I said at the beginning of this, it's the most fascinating marketplace and most interesting time I've seen in my lifetime.
Thank you, Rod. That now concludes our interview with Rod Fox, Managing Partner and CEO of Tiger Risk. We look forward to hearing more from Rod as renewal season progresses. But in the meantime, you can catch up on our other coverage of the key insurance and reinsurance industry topics by visiting our website at www.theinsurer.com. where you will also be able to access all our other podcasts. Next up is Tom Vandever, Head of Financial Institutions Group Americas at Barclays, who will be interviewed by our North American editor, David Bull. But for now, thank you, Rod, and thank you to our listeners. Until the next time.